Matthew chapter 13, verses 45 and 46, the pearl of great price. Number one, seeking. Number two, finding. Number three, selling. And number four, buying. This is one of the most unusual sights you will ever come across when you come to a faculty of learning. Yet, outside the Faculty of Social Sciences in Stockholm University, you will find this pearl. It's not a real pearl. It's a massive pearl. And every year, they take some yacht wax and they wax it until it gleams. And then something really unusual happens. They invite the Stockholm University choir to sing the following. I found the pearl of greatest price. My heart doth sing for joy. And sing I must, for Christ is mine. Christ shall my song employ. For he indeed is Lord of lords, and he the King of kings. He is the Son of righteousness, with healing in his wings. Christ is my peace. He died for me. For me he gave his blood, and as my wondrous sacrifice offered himself to God. Christ Jesus is my all in all, my comfort and my love. My life below, and he shall be my joy and crown above. This is the pearl of Laotzu. It was discovered on the 10th of April 2014 by a fisherman, Filipino. It's worth an absolute fortune. But it's not the pearl of great price. If you've been to Jersey, you will see this site. It's the pearl tree. 32,508 pearls. But none of them is the pearl of great price. The most famous pearl in the world is the Pearl of Asia. In fact, it was at the Victoria and Albert Museum. You could go and visit it when it was there. And it's said of this great pearl that battles have been fought and empires have been divided and continents have been crossed and lives have been lost in the pursuit of this pearl. But it's not the pearl of great price. The pearl of great price is none other than him who is altogether lovely. The chief among 10,000, the first of all that has ever lived and will ever live. When John Newton, that old African blasphemer, was converted, he had sought treasure anywhere and everywhere he could find it. But then he wrote a hymn. Fading is the worldling's pleasures, all his boasted pomp and show, solid joys, lasting treasures, none but God's own people know. And we're looking at the parables, earthly stories with heavenly meanings, where Jesus takes the visible to explain the invisible. Takes the earthly to explain the heavenly. Takes the natural to illustrate the spiritual. Pearl trading in the time of our Lord Jesus Christ was very brisk. And you would have those who were merchants in pearls, seeking them, finding them, buying them, selling them, hoarding them. And they would be ordinary fishermen, and some of them would be sultans who would collect a whole collection of pearls. Our Lord Jesus Christ has told 7 parables in Matthew chapter 13. 4 of them have been public for everybody to listen to. 3 of them are private, just for his disciples. Only those who are really his disciples can understand the pearl of great price. If you are truly a disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ, if you know him personally, if he is the treasure of your heart, this parable will make perfect sense. Listen. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. Here's a merchant, passionate for pearls. Ladies, if it is true that diamonds are a girl's best friend, then pearls are definitely their partners. And there are men who seek diligently to find pearls. Here is Jesus giving this visual illustration of an invisible principle. He's speaking about the kingdom of heaven. Now, he's speaking to his disciples. The disciples then, and some even now, were foggy, were in the dark, didn't quite understand or grasp what the kingdom of heaven was all about. Some of them believed that the kingdom of heaven would be some military invasion, that the king, the Messiah, would come, conquer and vanquish all their enemies, and set the people of God who were under affliction free. But that's not what the kingdom of heaven is about. Some of us thought that the kingdom of heaven was about material blessing. And others thought it was about status and position, so much so that 2 disciples were arguing one day about who would be first, who would be prominent, who would have status in the kingdom of heaven. But the Lord Jesus Christ made it plain that the kingdom of heaven is not something external, it is something internal. It is to do with his kingship. And the Lord Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, God manifest in the flesh, who is essentially and equally and eternally God, who lived like no man ever lived, who would die like no man would ever die, who would rise again from the dead and conquer sin and death and hell, who would ascend into heaven and send his spirit into the world to open the eyes of men and women, to unstop the ears of men and women, to open the hearts of men and women whom he had set his love upon and who were to be part of his kingdom. Whereby we acknowledge Jesus Christ as King of kings and Lord of all and King of my heart. If you want to understand this parable, Jesus needs to be the King of your heart. He needs to have come and subdued you and conquered you by his grace, by his mercy, by his love for your soul. Here we have, first of all, seeking. He is a merchant in search of fine pearls. Of course, the world in which we live seeks meaning. I like that motor car advert, don't you? Round and round, like a circle in a spiral, like a wheel within a wheel. It's amazing. It's a story about men and women in their thinking going round and round and round and round in circles, not really knowing who they are, why they're here, what life is all about, where they're going, whether there's a God, is there a heaven, how can I get there? Yes, the world seeks meaning. But you know, the Bible says the world, men and women in our world, don't seek God. The natural man does not seek after God. That's what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. When Paul wrote to the Romans, he said, no man seeks after God because there's none righteous, no, not one. The world might seek meaning and reason and rhyme and purpose. Why are we here? What is life all about? What's more, there's enough evidence, the Bible tells us, universal evidence in the world in which we live. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech. Night unto night reveals knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out into all the earth. Yes, there is the universal witness in the sky. Not only so, there's the universal witness in our souls. We're asking ourselves, why are we here? What is life all about? But such is the darkness of men's minds. Such is the blindness of men's eyes. Such is the deafness of men and women's ears that naturally we don't seek after him. The Bible says he seeks after us. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. But the church, that is the disciples, that is men and women, boys and girls, young people, older people, large people, small people, from different backgrounds and cultures, who know Jesus as their King, they seek the Master. As the soul longs, longing after God, that's what the psalmist says. The deer pants for the water brooks. So longs my soul for you, O God. If you hunger and thirst and long and seek after Jesus and to be more and more like him, to know him more and more, that's one of these signs that you belong to his kingdom. And if you want your son or your daughter or your brother or your sister or your father or your mother or your auntie or your uncle or your neighbor to know this pearl beyond all price, we need to be praying, Lord, open their eyes, open their ears, open their hearts. Cause them to seek that treasure which is above all treasures. Here's the merchant seeking. Number two, we find that he finds it in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value. Here he is. He thinks he's won the lottery. All his birthdays all at once, because here he is finding this ginormous pearl of great value. It is to him something that looks priceless or precious. I found the pearl of great price. Isn't that amazing? You know, the Apostle Paul made it plain who the pearl of great price is. He said that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Isn't that amazing? When he wrote to the Ephesians, he said, you are spiritual billionaires. Because every spiritual blessing in heavenly places is ours in Christ Jesus. Literally, in Christ, we are the apple of his eye, the treasure of his heart, the object of his love, the subject of his grace from all eternity to all eternity. And if we find Christ, and Christ by his grace finds us, if our eyes are opened, our ears are unstopped, our hearts are quickened, we're brought from death to life, from the kingdom of Satan unto God, then all of heaven's wisdom, all of heaven's knowledge, all of heaven's riches, every blessing that a man or woman could possibly want in time or for eternity is found in him. Isn't that amazing? Number three, we have something unusual here. Because we're told about selling. Who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. Here's someone who comes across now this pearl of great price. He wants it. He really wants it. And he's prepared to give up anything and everything in order to have it. Isn't that an amazing picture? Here's someone seeking, finding, he's going to sell it because this person's now going to sell everything he's got to get it. Everything he's got. He counts that having the pearl of great price to be worth more than anything that he owns, anything that he hopes to own. He'll give up anything. He'll give up everything in order to have this pearl. I wonder, maybe he'd gone into a shop, maybe he'd seen it. He thinks, I'm a pearl saver. I really want this pearl. Oh, I can't really afford, sell all the other pearls that I may have. No, more than that. Sell my house. Sell my belongings. Sell my goods. Anything and everything that I have, I'm going to give. I want this pearl. Amazing. He goes and finds and sells in order to buy this pearl. I never forget an occasion when someone told the story entitled, If Jesus is worth anything, he's worth everything. If Jesus is worth anything, he's worth everything. That's a challenge, isn't it? Because we like to keep a firm grip upon the things of this world, don't we? We don't want to loosen our grip on the things of this world in order to strengthen our grip upon the things of the eternal world. John Newton, who was converted, said, Jesus is my shepherd, savior, friend, my prophet, priest, and king, my Lord, my life, my way, my end. Accept the praise I bring. If we could understand just the value of our souls, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? If Christ is worth anything, he's worth everything. Listen to the Apostle Paul. He writes to the Philippian church. He says, if anyone thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Anything I used to believe in, anything I used to value, anything that I thought was of worth, I now count as rubbish compared to having and knowing Christ. And I would be prepared to sell everything I have in order to have him, in order to know him. Whom to know is life eternal. And then we have this amazing phrase. Who sold all that he had and bought it. Now this merchant is buying it. Literally, we can buy life's greatest treasure. Of course, we can't buy it with money. And we can't buy it with effort. And we can't buy it with religiosity or church going or being good or pulling up your socks or trying your level best. You don't buy it by being decent, white and middle class. No. You don't buy it by thinking to yourself, well, I've not done too badly. You don't buy it by penance. You don't buy it by good works. Listen to what Isaiah the prophet said in chapter 55. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. There is everlasting life. There is treasure found in Jesus Christ. We can buy without money and without price. It is by coming to him in repentance and in faith and in submission. And as we learned last week, nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. Naked look to him for dress. Helpless look to him for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. Here is the amazing truth of the gospel. Free of charge. Not cheap. The most expensive thing in the world. Free of charge. Given by the outrageous nature of his grace and the outpouring of his mercy and love upon the cross and by his resurrection as he was delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. We can have peace with God, the forgiveness of sins, new life, abundant life, eternal life, pardon for our sin, a clothing in his righteousness, a guaranteed, unbreakable covenant with the living God that he will be with us in life, in death, and in eternity, and take us to that inheritance which is incorruptible and undefiled and which fades not away, reserved in heaven for us. Do you know the pearl of great price? Would you like to know him? Then repent. Say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Believe. Say, Lord, I trust in you. Submit. Come and be king of my life, king of my heart. Take me into your kingdom. Now, I love Auntie Betty. I gave her a big kiss this morning, 90 years of age. But Auntie Betty, I was reading about a man who lived till he was 104 years old. What's more, this man who lived till he was 104 years old, used to sing a song everywhere he went. His name was George Beverly Shea. And he would sing this song. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have him than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. This world affords. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, it is the greatest thing. Let's stand and sing.